Hello, and welcome to the Angelist India Radio. Through these conversations, we're taking you inside the minds of great investors, experienced founders, and talented experts. Angelist India pioneered new concepts in startup fundraising and investing for India. You can find out more about us on angel.co/India. Let's dive in.
Awesome. I'm excited to have my good friends Vishnu and Dinesh on Angelist India Radio. Vishnu heads Corp Dev for Razorpay and Dinesh heads Corp Dev for Zerodha. Vishnu and Dinesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. Excited to do this one.
Yeah, so I'll just quickly set the context and we'll take it from there. So, you know, I'll just quickly talk about the Indian tech ecosystem, where it is today. I think we've seen three waves of startup ecosystem in India. The first one was, you know, from 2010 to 2014, Indian tech ecosystem found the product market fit, meaning you can build a technology company in India. 2015 to 2019, Indian companies can scale that we are seeing, you know, a bunch of unicorns now, some of them are about to go public. Hopefully, you know, Razorpay will be going public soon as well. And 2020 onwards, you know, Indian companies can scale globally and become profitable. And I think Corp Dev would play a massive role in the third wave. So we'll talk about Corp Dev today. Vishnu, Dinesh, any one of you can get going. You know, how do you think about Corp Dev at your respective companies, Rain Matter and Razorpay?
Yeah, Dinesh, do you wanna go ahead first?
Sure, Vishnu. So again, thanks, Shiva, for again having us both here. From a Corp Dev perspective, I think what Rain Matter thinks, I mean, we're quite unconventional as a Corp Dev or even a corporate VC structure. Essentially, what we're looking to do is support the ecosystem, support startups and founders who are working in the fintech space, and specifically in the capital market domain, right? Because what Zerodha does, I mean, our core competency lies in capital markets. And our aim with Zerodha and with Rain Matter is to help people do better with their money. We understand that, you know, we've got our limitations in terms of resources, etc. So what we try to do is with Rain Matter is to bring in more founders and startups who are trying to develop solutions and see how we can help them scale, how we can help them give that initial platform to test their product, get more customers, validate quickly, fail quickly, and support them on that journey. So for us, from a conventional corporate VC perspective, where the chase is around financial returns and strategic returns, I think for us, it's none, actually. I mean, we want to really help the founders and startups do well. It's not really about the payout out of it. And strategically, I think we're not looking at acquisitions in the future so closely. So for us, again, there also the motivation is to help founders do well and deepen the capital market space in India. So that's how Rain Matter thinks about it. I think Marshot is quite new. So I'm sure Vishnu has been working on it for quite some time. So maybe Vishnu can tell us how Marshot is different from what we think at Rain Matter.
Yeah, great. No, thanks for that, Dinesh. I think very unique perspective. Maybe I'll take a step back and talk about my learnings of the ecosystem and then about Razorpay, Marshot as well. You know, from what I see, I think, you know, Corp Dev is a very broad-based term, right? There's just so much happening in the world today, and that the definition of it, of Corp Dev as well is ever evolving. But there are so many avenues, right? I think, A, you think of it from a company's lens, you know, by creating value for shareholders. B, you think of it from a founder's lens, you know, and ambitions for the company. And see, you look at the ecosystem lens, you know, employees. I think there's so much happening. Companies are either only doing acquisitions, some are doing acquisitions investments, some are setting up funds for their own employees to go start up, you know, Khata Book, just spoke about some grants. And then there are, you know, sort of companies backing their ex-employees, you know, sort of in the relevant domain or outside. So much happening in the ecosystem. I think there are examples for each of these use cases. You know, we've seen, you know, Baiju's and a bunch of other edtech companies doing more of acquisitions, and we've seen a couple of companies doing more of investments, and then a mix of both, right? For us at Razorpay, I think we're in fintech, right? Just as Dinesh also mentioned, but you know, for us, fintech again is such a large ecosystem, and at least my opinion is that it's not a zero sum game, right? So for us also, I think the rationale is twofold. First is, as a company, we're solving sort of problems of businesses in India as Razorpay, right? And we're looking at solving for their anything to do with their money movement needs, right? From payments, banking, etc. That's the sort of overall vision, right? And I'll keep that very short and not speak much about Razorpay per se. But in line with that vision, we try to see how can we accelerate the value creation for our customers and the ecosystem, right? Which is banks and other players. And to do that, if we can do it through, you know, investments, acquisitions, then, you know, that's the way we think about making, you know, using our capital creatively to sort of save that time and create value for the ecosystem. Whether that means acquisition, whether that means investments, I think it goes both ways. So at Razorpay, we do both of them. And while doing that, I think we realized that there's so much happening in the early stage startup ecosystem that Harshil Shashank, the Razorpay founders, you know, wanted to give back to the ecosystem. And that's why we started Mass Shot Ventures, which is completely outside of Razorpay, right? It's private capital, like a lot of other founders in India do. And from there, we actually do make non-fintech investments as well, very small tickets, but to support, you know, early stage founders. So I think, you know, just giving a flavor of the different things happening in the investing world. From a company's perspective. So that's a bit about our journey.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you guys are certainly, you know, nurturing or enabling the startup ecosystem even further, you know, especially in fintech area. And Vishnu and Dinesh, how do you think Corp Dev is evolving and where are we headed to, you know, fall on that is what are the headwinds, tailwinds for Corp Dev to thrive in India and what has really changed in the last few years?
Vishnu, do you want to go first or should I?
Yeah, go ahead. I think first things first, I think, you know, for whatever reason, if we go maybe a decade back, Corp Dev did not always have a positive connotation to it from everyone's lens, right? From a founder's lens, from a from a target's lens, if you're looking at pure investment banking. I think that is changed significantly, right? And it'll keep evolving towards a more positive connotation that, you know, together we can do more, right? And with that thought process, I think both for companies looking to make investments, acquisitions, founders looking to take strategic capital as opposed to pure financial capital, I think that is one sort of thing that just the thought process that's evolving significantly. And I think that we also learn more and more from the West and the East both, right? And I think in India as well, there are evolving models like the Thrasio models that are coming along and a bunch of others that's overall going to change, you know, thought processes of founders, of VCs, and how exits are created, right? And I think as that changes, I think the openness will keep increasing. And as we look at more use cases of successful Corp Dev transactions, whether that's investments, acquisitions, I think that will be drivers of building confidence in the minds of more founders to come. So I think that's one interesting point, while there's so much more happening operationally, tactically. But that's at least, you know, something that comes to my mind.
Yeah, and just to add to what Vishnu says, I think Corp Dev always existed, right? As in, I mean, the Googles, the Microsoft, the Intels, the IBMs of the world have been running Corp Dev and some of these corporate venture arms for quite some time now. But I think the shift has been since 2008, I mean, since the financial crisis, when there was a cash crunch, I think some of these corporates pulled back on spending in terms of some of these newer startups backing early stage vendors, trying to make sure that they stabilize their businesses first. And ever since, I think we've seen the growth in corporate VC and Corp Dev ecosystem. You know, in exponential manner. I think there's been, I think, about $80 billion that's been done this first half of this year alone as compared to the whole of last year, which is quite humongous in all proportions. But yeah, I think nowadays, it's not just these larger firms, right? I think these are startups who are now trying to do Corp Dev and some of these corporate VC activities as well. So be it Razorpay, be it Zerodha with Rain Matter, there are so many startups who are now raising capital and have that capital available to deploy it in whichever way they seem fit. And I think, as Vishnu mentioned, there have been a lot of things going on strategically and tactically. And I think for startups, I think it's still a win-win, right? As in these corporate VC arms and say Corp Dev teams get access to products and teams who are probably growing along with the company. So there is that integration that comes into play and lesser time to probably hire a team, develop a team. So it's much easier to probably work with a team that's been a startup that you incubate. And secondly, I think these startups who are now getting funded by Corp Dev and CVC firms, they get access to geographies, right? Because some of these larger startups were spread across geographies can deploy these products of these smaller startups in various states and various countries, as you're saying. So, but yeah, I think from a headwinds perspective, I think there have been challenges. I think, again, just with respect to perspectives and say how they're perceived, right? I mean, corp dev teams as an eventual goal being acquisition, etc. But yes, I think the tailwinds are, I think, you know, there's capital now, there are more people who believe in this model. I think it just worked for a lot of firms. If you see Salesforce and some of these other larger ERPs, they've been doing this for quite some time and adding startups to their own companies for a long time now. So, but yeah, I think from a tailwinds perspective, yeah, I think the capital that's available, people who believe in this model. But headwinds, yes, again, it's more around the challenges in the ecosystem on how many startups you can actually implement.
Yeah, no, you guys are right. A lot is happening, a lot, you know, and especially I think the effects are pandemic. Now you can raise capital online, China effect as well. You know, a lot of capital is gonna, you know, fall into India, but still there's a long, long way to go. And how are you guys thinking about, let's say, you know, if we were to, you know, get to, of course, US and China scale and massive, like, you know, companies like Tencent, Alibaba, Microsoft, Google, there's a massive corporate teams and, you know, what they do through that is just incredible scale. So what needs to be true in India for us to get to that level?
Maybe I can take that first and then maybe Vishnu can answer. So I think for us, I think the dearth has never been the startups, right? I think we've, over the past few years now, we've seen multiple startups that have now at least started operations or started to raise funds, etc. But I think with more and more of larger startups who have a strong foothold in the Indian startup ecosystem, launching these corporate VC and corp dev teams, I think that will help bring more startups into this ecosystem and not just look at tier one cities, right? Look at tier two, tier three cities where there are smarter, talented people now developing solutions. And I think those solutions need to be brought into the mainstream. And probably some of these corp dev teams can focus on these smaller towns and smaller cities in India. Because I think with that, not just the ecosystem grows, but I think there's local value creation, right? As in, if you're creating employment in a tier two, tier three city, I think that's more valuable as compared to creating employment in tier one city in this current ecosystem. So I think if more and more corporate VC arms look at smaller cities and towns as potential opportunities for them to contribute back to the community, I think that can be an inflection point for how corp dev grows in India. I think the moment startups and founders realize that, you know, no matter where I stay, I think if I have an opportunity to raise funds and probably build my business, I think there'll be more and more people who will be willing to take that risk and start up in India. So I think that's one thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, Dinesh. So, you know, the way I think of it is twofold. First is just that I think the thought process behind using capital creatively has to change for people who have access to capital, right? VCs anyway do it as a full-time job, but I'm talking about corporate startups in whatever stage, right? And as that thought process evolves, I think the ability to disburse that sort of capital to more founders, to more, you know, early stage startups will start increasing, right? Which means that maybe even a Series A startup is now investing in another startup, right? And a lot can happen with stuff like that. The challenge is that, you know, how do you actually create value after the investment, right? Because typically that's the reason why a strategic makes an investment. I think some of those playbooks in India have to be built out and shown, right, to the ecosystem. That, and I think Zerodha is doing a great job, right, with that, with Rain Matter and how you all do it. I think more companies with Razorpay as well, where we've started out early in the journey, but, you know, we're creating certain playbooks with some of the companies we've invested in. But I think more and more companies have to do that. We've seen that in gaming, we've seen that in edtech, but probably, you know, penetrate more industries, right? Which means that the larger ecosystem in India of businesses will understand sort of value of corp dev as we set up, you know, playbooks to maybe, you know, give access to distribution in a meaningful way, right? By companies who have the distribution. Or let's say, you know, creating playbooks to scale, right? I think early stage startups have so many problems are going from the 0 to 1, 1 to 10 and 10 to 100. Companies who've already gone through that can sort of, you know, really, you know, impart those learnings from their successes and failures. So, and how does one do that, right? So I think once those playbooks are sort of built out and those use cases and examples are set in the industry, then overall, I think that enables more corp dev from all stakeholders in the ecosystem. So maybe that's another point to Nishas.
God, very interesting. And you know, what's the best part about you guys' job? And plus, on the other side, what are the challenges?
Yeah, I think trying to think through. We have had a tough week last week, but so I'll tell you, right? I think the best part about this job is just how humbling it is to see from an outside in perspective what's happening in the ecosystem when you're already from an inside out learning about the company, right? Because we're not financial. At least I'm not a financial investor, so you know, I'm part of an operating company because that's how any cop dev team would operate. So you know, part of being part of a company, you still get such a deep outside in view of what's happening on the ground, you know, meeting, you know, the best minds, learning from them, right? And learning about the ecosystem, and then figuring out how can you create value for two different parties trying to achieve two different goals, but finding an overlap between those goals or ambitions or whatever it is, right? I think that's a pretty humbling and satisfying part of my job at CopDev. So that's pretty cool for me, at least. I feel very happy. I get sleep at night, you know, sort of knowing that. But I think the tough part is sort of what I already said previously, right? Really figuring out what exactly CopDev can do from a company's perspective for founders is very hard, right? Because in some cases, it's actual distribution. In some cases, it's learnings from, you know, let's say successes, failures. In some cases, it might just be financial capital, right? It might not be anything else. Just, you know, for some reason, the startup's not being able to raise money, but we feel, you know, we believe in them. So it's hard to really bifurcate and really call out what's happening in that relationship and then building that relationship. So that's a tough one, I think, in CopDev. And just as an example, I think one of the Stripe founders kind of called out that they actually make investments where there's a high probability of them competing with the investee company, right? That's a tough relationship to manage, I think.
I bet.
Yeah, and I mean, at Rain Matter, as I said, I think our whole thesis is to help people do better with their money. So the people, or at least the startups we incubate, are some of the coolest and some of the finest people in the industry. So I think one of the coolest parts of the job is that we all know, as part of Rain Matter, we're helping people do better with their money, essentially. There is this bit of accomplishment there. And I think also with challenges, I think I'd say maybe less of a challenge, more of a wish, is to probably help more and more startups. And I think with limited resources and ability to be part of certain sectors, with our core competency being capital markets, essentially, there are a lot of startups from other sectors that we'd like to help. But I think that's more of a longer-term challenge than anything in the shorter term. But yeah, I think as Vishnu rightly pointed out, it's quite humbling to meet people who are so smart and probably... so fun to work with them, right? Because there's a lot to learn there as well. So I think every day I at least spend a lot of time learning new things, and that's been quite humbling for me as well. So I agree with Vishnu with what he also kind of feels about.
Love it. If someone was looking to get into corp dev, what advice would you give them? Like, how can they kind of like, you know, make their way into corp dev?
Right. So I think it's not quite different from a VC kind of an angle, from a lot of at least parts of what we do, right, as a job. But I think from a CopDev specific perspective, I think there's got to be alignment in terms of strategy with whichever firm that you work with. So be it Razorpay, Rain Matter, Google, Microsoft, etc. So you've got to understand the industry better. You've got to understand the goals. You've got to understand the vision as to where you want to see yourself in 10, 15 years. And I think if somebody is able to put those pieces together, and I think those things happen with practice. So somebody is trying to look, or at least looking to get into CopDev, I think the idea will be to learn as many sectors as you possibly can. Learn how to, or at least suggest solutions to expand or grow these sectors, right? So I think that's the essential goal of CopDev. So if you can practice that and probably run through some simulations, run through some papers, run through some material in terms of reading, etc., as to how you can grow industries, I think that'll be super helpful. The financial bits, the legal bits, the regulatory bits, I think can all be learned and can all be done on the job. But I think the initial at least interest in growing an industry and to see potential strategies where we can develop and bring in more sectors and more service lines and more products, I think that'll be quite helpful when you're speaking to any CopDev teams. I think that's what essentially we're looking for. Vishnu, anything to
add? Yeah, so I agree to all of your points, Nish, and I think let me maybe bring a different perspective from my end, right? The way I would sort of answer the question is, Shiva, it kind of matters what CopTech team you're trying to join, right? Or rather, what company you're trying to join. I think there are early stage companies which are very founder-driven. There are companies which are very large, right? Global MNCs, where I think the thought process behind CopTech is slightly different. And then again, basis your industry, there might be acquisition heavy cop devs, investment heavy cop devs, you know, stuff which is very unique, like what, let's say, you know, Dinesh, Saranathan and folks at Zerodha are doing with Rain Matter. So I think based on the founders, I think you should really try to understand how do you build trust, right? Because I think this honestly becomes a sort of a high trust market with founders, with VCs, with your own teams. And then maybe probably then you start figuring out where is it that you want to sort of cut in, right? You want to join an early stage startup, work closely with founders. Then you sort of start thinking more from that angle, right? And the company's angle, the industry's angle, what exactly can happen there, right? I think bring up unique views to founders, to teams, operating teams in that company. And I'm sure, you know, you can make your way through. And CopDev typically is a mix of CopDev strategy, internal operating, you know, problem statement solutioning as well. So I think there are many ways to sort of get in into CopDev. But it matters. It depends where you know you want to sort of create inroads. So that's just to add to Dinesh's point.
So you know we know Vishnu because of Razorpay, or you know we know Dinesh because of Zerodha. What do your friends know you for?
I think my friends know me for being a people's person. I think I while I think it's not a great trait, I derive a lot of my energy from people around me. And I think that actually helps for the job that I'm in, right? I think the kind of role that I play, that really needs to happen to be able to do call after call, you know, day after day, even on Saturday, Sundays. I genuinely enjoy it, right? I don't see it as a job. I don't see it as a role. I see it as meeting new people, interacting with new people, learning, you know, sharing my learning. So I think that's how I'm known outside of my job as well. Just more of a people's person.
You're at a good place, my friend.
Yeah, no, I mean, Vishnu definitely is a people's person. So, and I spoke to Vishnu long back as well, like last year. So even before Marshot kind of came into existence. So we kind of connected randomly on LinkedIn and kind of had a word. So definitely a people person. I think it's a difficult question for me to answer as to what my friends know me for. But I think I've always like enjoyed hanging out with people, as in knowing them better, trying to see what I can learn from them. And I think maybe having conversations in terms of specific, say, topics, industries, sectors, etc. But yeah, I think from a friend's perspective, I think they know that I'm quite chilled out and quite fun-loving. Even though I end up reading a lot and having less social interactions, I think it's still fun hanging out with people. So I think that's maybe one thing that they know me for.
Dinesh, one or two maybe your favorite books that you've read and you would recommend?
Yeah, Shiba. Recently there's one from the partner at Anderson Horowitz, What You Do Is Who You Are. It's on business culture and how the culture is developed in a company, right? As in it's not about what you say, it's about what you do. So I think that's one of the books. And the other book is... let me recollect. Maybe Vishnu, you can go now and maybe I can recollect the other name.
Yeah, so for me, I think one is The Almanac by Naval Ravikant. I think, you know, that one honestly just helps me think through mental models. It really, I find him very inspiring and I think it helps me build long-term philosophies, right, for myself personally. So that's one book that I really like. The second one is more of a utopian aspiration that I will never reach, is the 4-hour work week. That's just something that I always look at and say that, hey, can I even have, like, let's say, 15-hour work week sometime in the future, long term. So I think those are the two books that at least come to my mind.
Gotcha. One last one. Look, if money, attention, and fame is not needed anymore, what would you guys work on?
So it's a simple answer for me is to maybe develop more skills, right? As in, I think in this world, I think right now, if there's one thing that you can depend on is skills, and that can be interpersonal, that can be technical. But I think the more skills you have, I think the better in terms of how you interact with people, how you look at life, how you look at work. So I think that's one thing that I would chase is just upskilling myself every day. And again, right, I mean, in the job that we do, I think we see people who are doing a lot more, who are doing innovation and probably being part of the startup ecosystem. So I think that's kind of inspiring as well. So yeah, I think upskilling is something that I would focus on. Money, fame, and I'm not sure what's the third one that you mentioned.
Attention.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think for me, I'll try to give a slightly philosophical answer because I've had this conversation with someone. It's not been those exact three things, but let's say money, fame, attention, if they want that, right? For me, I think I would like to learn the art of investing in people. When I say investing, I don't mean money. I mean time, effort, money, anything, whatever I have access to. And when I say people, I don't mean companies. I mean people, right? Because finally, companies, you know, capital, whatever it is, it's finally driven by people. You're usually investing in people at all points in time. So if I can really learn the art of it, I'll be a happier person as I continue to live my life, because I'll know which relations to invest better in, which people to get to know more. Even my personal capital, where do I deploy it, right? Just to be happier overall. So I think that's the art that I'd love to learn.
Vishnu and Dinesh, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. This was great. Thanks for giving us a quick overview of, you know, the evolution of corp dev in India, talking about how you're thinking about corp dev at your respective companies and where it's headed to. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Shura. Thank you for making this happen.
Absolutely.